drone pilots are real pilots too. Let's meet a couple of them in the Arrowverse. Hello, welcome to In the Arrowverse. I'm Dan Milliken.
And I'm Christy Wong, and we're talking hot topics. Apparently.
Well, because drone pilots do not get respect. They're the Rodney Dangerfield of aviation.
Well, the question is, are they pilots? Are they operators?
Yeah. All right, so we've got a couple of these guys here. What do you think?
Well, we do things too. We got to recharge. We got to do the same stuff.
Recharge the batteries?
Well, no.
All right, Steve Pittman. From the Unmanned Man is here. Steve, thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So nice to see you.
Oh, very nice.
And Jonathan, it's Jonathan Smith.
Yep.
Hey.
Great to see you all again.
Yeah, we've done work with you. You've done some drone stuff for Absolutely. Warbird Rebuilders here on the Arrowverse.
Yep.
So welcome, guys. So is it true you guys do get respect or don't get respect?
I would say it depends on who you ask.
Yeah. other drone operators or drone pilots respect.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The drone community as a whole is a very close-knit, similar to the manned aviation world. Everybody kind of knows everyone, and respect goes around both ways, you give and you get. So, I would say, you definitely get the respect from the other remote pilots, if we're calling right. that.
Yeah.
And then even on the manned aviation side of things, depends on who you work with, what industry, you work closely with. Respect goes all around.
Do you guys have pilot certificates outside of the drone unmanned remote world?
No, I started ground school and then I kind of faded off.
Oh, come on.
No, and likewise for me, I just have the Part 107 certificate and off to the skies I went.
So I will tell you guys this. Some people don't know, so a few do. I got into flying because of drones. Mm-hmm. So when the drone craze happened 10 years ago, if you remember, there was no 107, mm-hmm. there was no nothing. And so the FAA was requiring, like I run a film and video production company, yep. the FAA was requiring a commercial pilot's license to be able to take money to do drone work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't realistic, so they did come up with a stopgap until they got the 107,
yep.
which was get any level of pilot's license, apply for what they called the 333 exemption. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually one of the few that did it. Mm-hmm. I went and got my pilot's license and then applied for the 333 and got it and was doing drone work for commercial purposes before the 107.
So we have a fellow drone operator in our presence.
So I'm a real pilot. Yeah. I'm a real pilot too.
So. No, and what's I guess funny, not funny about kind of the regulatory framework as it pertains to unmanned systems is, we're still kind of stuck in that no man's land of, getting exemptions and getting waivers. Is that really regulatory framework? And, in my eyes, no, that's not. That's exemption and waivers. So, the company that I'm working with now, Galaxy Unmanned Systems, we're fighting very hard, very closely with the FAA to actually create sound regulatory framework for drone operators to work with it. That way it's not these exemptions and these waivers that can be, handed out as candy and then taken away.
And depending on who, it can be really hard to get or whatever.
Exactly.
The issue that I've run into is early on, before the 107, it was a lot of work to get the 333 exemption. Mm-hmm. So what happened was a lot of cowboys were out there just doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And there weren't any geo restrictions on the drones, airspace restriction, yep. and people were doing crazy stuff. Yeah. And because of that, then everybody got slapped down. So, it's unfortunate that we've gotten regulations mainly because there's been a lot of wild stuff going on, which mm-hmm. then leads to people having a lack of respect for drone pilots.
Yep. Yeah. Started out getting everyone doing crazy things, getting all the FaceTime for the bad stuff. And you're like, oh, come on now. And then we get regulations, and now we still got some gaps to fill there. And at least it sounds like we're...
But the damage is done.
Yeah, I know.
It's
reputation, the damage, yes. Yep. Yeah.
However, we are coming, I think, through the other side of that. And now, instead of the Wild Wild West for drone operations, you are seeing now a new class of commercial drone pilots
Absolutely.
Who really know what they're doing and are doing really, really good work. And they're having to do some really complicated work with complicated drones.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just off the shelf stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the drone work that you do in particular.
Yeah, definitely. So, I was here on this episode last year and not a whole lot has changed with me or even the regulatory framework as we just touched on. But I have been getting bigger and bigger drones and I have been getting bigger and bigger cameras. It's kind of what I set out to do when I first started drone is kind of get the most expensive cameras on, you know, the biggest drones that I could afford and build.
How big are these drones?
So,
like, as big as this table?
Yeah, bigger than that.
Bigger than that?
Yeah.
Christy, my first drone was, it was outside of us as a circle.
Oh, my gosh. See, I'm thinking about these, like, little drones
I had 18-pound payload capacity on this drone. 16-inch wooden props.
Did you have to do a weight and balance on it?
No, but...
Oh, my gosh.
You get a slide rule and everything.
Yeah.
It was and the other thing is that the electronics at the time, this is 10 years ago, were not that great, and the stupid thing would fly away and do crazy things.
Yep.
Yeah. And when you have something that big, it could actually hurt. And there were people that were... I know of one case where a kid was killed because of a drone that kind of back then. Nowadays, the electronics are so much better.
Yes.
But, like, I did to learn to fly this octocopter, it came as before there were small, you know, DJI Phantoms and the white, before all that. So I get this big, huge thing, and I want to know how to fly it. So I buy a controller that would then plug into the computer, and I did a flight sim for the drone. For a long time,
that's hardcore.
Oh, it was very hardcore to do that. And what's interesting is that your very first episode of Unmanned Man took me back when I watched it. Took me back to that because the air racing and all that kind of stuff—they're not doing the leveling and everything. Yeah. They're having to do that hardcore.
Yeah, they're
so talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. These guys are in the racing world. They're actually flying the craft. I know there are some drones out there that you let go, you dead stick them, and they just. Hover, sit still.
Right.
These guys are flying these crafts. It is, and they are doing it with like.
Yeah, like you said in your episode, they're flying at a 45-degree angle. So when you've got something at a 45-degree angle going fast, and you just turn left, well, you're going to turn left, and you're going to yaw and everything. Yeah. You've got to have a lot of coordination.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's harder than flying your Cherokee Warrior.
Yeah, see? Coordinated turn. You just turn a little stick, a little trim.
You're good to go. That's it.
A little stick, a little trim. Okay. Let's go fly.
A little stick.
Don't want chase footage. I know a guy.
Yep.
And so, Jonathan, on your side, that's exactly what you do.
Yes.
Because we brought you out on Warbird Rebuilders mm-hmm. that you can see on the Arrowverse. And we were doing a feature on a P-51 Mustang,
yep.
and you are doing chase things. Yes. I had reached out to you and said, how fast can you go?
Yep.
Because I wanted to chase a Mustang.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How fast could you go? Could you keep up with my 90 knots warrior
flying? I would say it depends on who's asking. If it's the FAA, it's 99 miles an hour. But the technology is there potentially for us to go faster than the 99 mile an hour, 100 mile an hour limit for drones.
Yeah.
And again, getting back to those waivers and exemptions, it's all paperwork that just has to be filed.
That's interesting. Yeah,
and we never went.
We never
even went over 90. But
yeah.
So we did not do chasing with the, we did not form up on the Mustang. Mm-hmm. It was only around the airport.
We could do a flight of two.
We could.
That would be fun. Could. Is it? Well, if we, legally, is that a thing? Could we do a flight of two with, the Warrior and a drone?
That's a great question. I'm sure there's some sort of exemption exists out there.
Oh, I know there is.
So we got to talk about formation flying in general. We just have to be able to sit down. The PICs have to coordinate it.
Yeah, I've seen YouTube videos of a guy in a tail dragger, like a cub or something, and there's a drone just dancing all around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's incredible footage. It's stuff you've never seen before.
Yeah, and that drone operator, he goes by Nico Films on YouTube and Instagram. And, I mean, he's just an incredible drone operator and does some amazing things with manned aviation as well.
So do you wear, the goggles to,
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
I was noticing
I like the goggles so much. I got them on my hat here.
Okay. You wear the goggles, and mm-hmm. then you operate it that way, so you're kind of in real time.
Exactly.
So we technically could... Legally speaking, we could do a flight of two.
Yeah, yeah, and
we
I'm always
should
having.
Do that.
Voice of warning. So I do know of a YouTuber who got in trouble for launching a drone from a plane. You're not allowed to do
we
that.
We should yes. not do that.
Yes, we cannot operate a drone from moving vehicles.
Yeah. Right.
So he cannot be in the passenger seat of the Warrior, doing formation flight with you.
Okay, but you could be on the ground at the airport.
Yes,
I could
correct.
Take off, yeah. you could yeah. take off. Okay,
absolutely.
So we should do observed. That.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And the formation aspect of that, too, is very interesting. I'm not sure if y'all are aware with kind of what's going on in the futurescape of drones as far as AAM and advanced air mobility. But North Texas is kind of, we've planted the flag here for the hardware of future drone technology, whereas Austin is kind of the software.
Drone taxis.
Yeah.
Right.
That you know, yeah.
There, so I know Embraer is working on something like that. Oh, that's right.
Well, and we've done some interviews at AirVenture with companies that are leading that. And I have no doubt in 5 years it's going to be a really, really big thing. And mm-hmm. and I know that the FAA has been embracing it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had Rob Lowe from the FAA in the hangar show, mm-hmm. and he talked about how cooperative the FAA is working with the drone professional commercial drone
absolutely,
operations.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have to be because the technology has far exceeded any regulatory yeah. framework that we have. That, so, you know, they
it
have
usually
to figure
does.
It out.
It
yeah.
usually
now,
does.
Now, Galaxy Unmanned, you guys are working on, like, are you working on pass, like, through the airspace, charting radio frequencies and everything else on behalf of the FAA? What's
yes.
all that?
Yeah, so we have a partnership with NASA and a number of universities here in North Texas where we're mapping out the radio frequency footprints here in the DFW Metroplex. And right now we have a 35-foot unmanned blimp that houses all of this equipment that we're able to fly around and kind of map out where these RF signals and interferences are.
That way, because that would be the big thing. If you got an air taxi holding four people, but oops, we went out of frequency, you know, mm-hmm. you don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Yep.
No.
That could ruin a day.
Yeah. And yeah. The unique thing about the blimp is, you know, one of our owners always says a blimp is the safest, most efficient way to carry the heaviest stuff. If you have an accident with a blimp, it's more comical than it is catastrophic, because if they knock into each other, oops, you change some parameters. The blimp reorients itself.
Look, I saw what happened with the Hindenburg.
Well, that comes down to gas.
Not so comical.
Not so funny.
We're using helium instead of hydrogen, so much safer gas than what was...
So everybody's just going to be
talking
funny. Yeah.
Yeah. If you've seen two people run at each other with those yoga balls and they bounce
back,
just as funny as that.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, that's funny.
So there is a topic, though. I know they're talking about unmanned aircraft, like actual aircraft that are being flown from a remote location, like mm-hmm. I think, what was it, the FedEx, like the Caravan and what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they did do a Cessna Textron with the FAA. I know they've been testing out a pilotless Caravan, a Cessna 208.
So mm-hmm. is that something that is within the same wheelhouse with you guys? Is that like a, if I get my 107, you know, can I pilot a Caravan from the ground?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it depends on how the 107 is structured for whatever it is, whatever payloads, et cetera.
Yeah, so the 107 has a 55-pound weight limit. Yeah,
correct.
You're probably over that on the
little bit.
208.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Probably.
You should probably ask for an exemption.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. But it's still in the same wheelhouse.
It is within the same wheelhouse, okay. And we've actually been the surrogate aircraft with some of our drones for just the autopilot system for Bell Helicopter.
You're coming for my job.
A little
I'm
bit.
Just kidding.
They don't need pilots anymore on the E-175.
Oh my gosh, stop it. That's never going to happen.
But drones, blimps, anything unmanned is just a great, cheaper alternative to test these complex systems in a way that you don't want a human in the loop to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a catastrophic error, you want something that's under the 55-pound limit coming crashing to the ground versus something that's full of fuel and full of human lives, frankly, as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So, Steve, you have been working on the Unmanned Man show that's here on Arrowverse. Mm-hmm. Tell us about how that got started and, you know, what was your idea behind it all?
Well, I mean, I really wanted to explore the unmanned aerial systems from end to end. If it's in the air and there's nobody in it, I wanted to cover it, you know, And the technology advancement is just folding, because every day something new and crazy is coming out. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, we have DoD contracts coming out with surrogate fighter craft and, like, you know, little buddy systems for F-35, like a whole nine. It's really, really interesting. I want to expose all of the non-commonly known things, you know, and just like all the agricultural use cases. Lighter than air, like, I mean, I really want to get into it. I think it's going to be really interesting, for sure.
Crop dusting blimp. That is a good idea.
Yeah.
That would be a really cool idea. See, yeah, write it down.
Don't tell that to the crop duster pilots.
Yeah, no, we don't need crop dusters. Great. Any other pilot group we can offend? I've offended drone pilots.
Add it to the list.
So, what about the Department of Defense? I mean, we're seeing in the world, of course, you know, drones have really been a game changer on the battlefield, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, then you hear not only in the air, but, you know, you hear about drones in the sea. You know, have you seen much? What have you been able to discover as far as military drone use?
Yeah, so my experience when I was active was, you know, seeing them on the radar, interacting with them in the air, interacting with their ground controllers, and then as we can see with this new, just call it a war landscape that we have, different types of uses. You know, taking something commercial and using it for non-commercial things. You know, and I do believe there's a lot of technology that's going to come out of this, you know, as far as deterrence goes, as far as being able to risk mitigation.
Defend against.
Yeah, it's kind of, how do you stop something that, you know.
Yeah, you have to go in and learn radio frequencies, jamming, the whole whatever. Thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate that these negative occurrences are causing a leap in technology.
Well, that's always it always has. Yeah. Look at aircraft and aviation from World War One, World War II.
Go back to the V1 and V2 rockets from Germany. Yeah. Yeah. You know, those are horrible, and yet really our space program came from that in a lot of ways. Yeah. So, there's a lot of leaps that are made from that.
Yeah, a lot of drone technology came out of Civil War, post-Civil War, the Kettering bug, things like that. Just running a drone off timing. Or whatever, still the groundwork that here we are today where you know, they're doing crazy stuff with them. Yeah. So,
all right, what's next for the unmanned man?
Well, we're going to get into a lot deeper stuff. Drone Racing League, we want to get in with them, see how all of that works, dive deeper into the drone racing segment. And then the agricultural side, I think, is something that's like untouched. Because I think they just got DJI just, they just got released or approved for release or use in the United States. So we're starting to see a lot of not manufacturers, but distributors with these. There's a couple guys out of Oklahoma, Kansas, stuff like that, to do the crops out there. So definitely want to touch that world. And then, especially this lighter in the air stuff, it's a very rational use case for a drone. You know, calling it a drone, somebody sees a balloon, they're like, that's not a drone. And you're like, well. There's nobody on it, you know.
It's an unmanned aircraft. It's a UFO.
Yeah, you know. From far, you're like.
We actually joke about that quite a bit because we can put lights inside of it and it just looks crazy cool like that. So we're gonna go out into the country in the middle of nowhere.
Oh my gosh.
We're gonna prove some conspiracy theories.
Just create some new ones.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on the show and talking about everything. Unmanned. So
I'm excited to see the show. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
All right, you guys can see the show. Just go find the Unmanned Man here on the Arrowverse app. And you know what? We'll see you guys later.
In the Arrowverse.